الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به أنجينا الذين ينهون عن السوء وأخذنا الذين ظلموا بعذاب بئيس بما كانوا يفسقون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders and brothers, every action has a natural consequence to it. It is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls everything, Allah controls every action and also the outcome of an action, but it has been the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is a natural consequence and an outcome to every action. If a person sees smoke, immediately in his mind, he understands or realizes there is fire there. See. If a person goes out in the rain, he's going to get wet. It's a natural consequence and an outcome of walking in the rain. Many years ago, when people were sending the children overseas to go study, etc. So one person came to an alim and said to him that I'm sending my daughter to go study in England. You know, in those days it was difficult to get place in the universities here, so I'm sending my daughter overseas. Maulana, you make dua for her. So Maulana said that you are sending your daughter in the rain and you want me to make dua that she doesn't get wet. So immediately, you know, he gets upset and he says that, yeah, you'll always want to keep us behind and you Maulanas don't want us to progress in life, etc., whatever it was. And eventually the incident ends there. After a few years, he comes back to the alim, the same alim, and he says to him that I've booked a ticket. You need to go with me. We need to go overseas because unfortunately my daughter has become a murtad. She has married a disbeliever there and she has come out of the fold of Islam. So there are natural consequences to actions. Person goes out in the rain, he's going to get wet. So in many hadiths, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us the outcome and the consequence of actions. Like for example, in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when immorality, adultery, fornication becomes aam and becomes rife, then the natural consequence to that will be many murders and deaths will take place. And not only that, different types of diseases will spread in the community. Unique diseases will spread in the community because fornication and adultery has become very, very rife. So there is a hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a lengthy hadith, where Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes mention the natural consequence of a string of actions that will become prevalent and become rife in the society. Many a times we feel that why are certain calamities befalling us? Why is it that Muslims are suffering throughout the world? Why are we going through such turmoil, etc.? All that is happening, we should first of all understand, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what the oppressors are doing throughout the world. Allah knows what is happening. But much of what is happening is a natural consequence of the actions that were taking place before that or that which has become very, very rife and open in the communities and the society. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith has mentioned, is that tukhidha al-fay'u duwala, when public treasuries will become private properties, when people will start regarding that which is supposed to be for the mass, for the general public, they will start regarding it as private property. And they will make use of it as if it is their own. And they will misappropriate the Baytul Mal, or they will misappropriate that public treasury or the public funds which is in, which has been left or entrusted in their hands. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wal amanatu maghnama. And when amanat will be regarded as a luck, people, when they will be entrusted with something, as a simple example, person has been entrusted with an estate or made an executor to an estate, and he regards this as a good luck for himself to make some money out of it. Or he's been entrusted with anything else to look after something, and he regards it as a nice opportunity of enriching himself. And even a more simpler example is that you find something lying on the floor. You find a wallet, or you found some money. And unfortunately, among the general masses, very common amongst youngsters and children also, they say this, you know, that finders keepers and losers weepers. There's no such a thing as finders keepers and losers weepers. If you find something, you have to look for the owner. It becomes an amanat. If you cannot find the owner, you have to give it out in charity. 10 years later, if the owner comes and claims that item of his, then you have to give it from your side, and what you gave many years ago will be charity on your behalf. So, wal amanatu maghnama, people will regard amanat as a luck for themselves. And especially when it comes to the aspect of inheritance, we all know what happens. Many of the brothers are deprived, sisters are deprived, nephews are deprived. A person has built his entire empire, built his entire empire on the inheritance of somebody else. Maybe 40 years ago or 50 years ago it was a paltry sum, but you built your empire on that amount. On the day of Qiyamah, you are going to be taken to task for it. The very famous hadith which is quoted often by the ulama is with regard to the three individuals that were traveling or were on a journey, and they happened to spend the night in the cave, and a rock blocked the cave. Many of us know the incident. We don't want to go through the entire incident. But one of the persons lifted his hands and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Ya Allah, I had a person that was employed by me. There was a little wage that I had to give him, but he left before I could pay his wage. Many years later, in the meantime, I invested that wage of his in my business. And many years later, he came to claim his wage. And I returned everything to him, including the profits that I made out of that little wage of his. All the goats and the sheep and the cattle, whatever there was, I returned everything to him. Oh Allah, if I did this for your sake, then please remove us from this predicament of ours and this difficulty of ours. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that rock to move, and eventually they all came out of the cave. It's a lengthy hadith. We won't go through the entire episode. But just to make us understand, wal amanatu maghnama, when people will start regarding trust and amanat as a luck for ourselves. There is no lucks like that. On the day of Qiyamah, you are going to stand responsible for every cent that you had robbed somebody of. وَالزَّكَاتُ مَغْرَمًا, and people will start regarding zakat as a tax, as a burden. Understand well that zakat is an ibadat. Just like how now after performing our Jummah Salah, we will leave from the masjid happy, contented. I have fulfilled a duty and a command of Allah. We feel so nice after performing our Jummah Salah, and now we're going back to work. In the same way, when it is time for you to calculate your zakat, you should be happy. I am fulfilling an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am fulfilling a command of Allah. It shouldn't be a burden on us. We shouldn't regard it like a tax. Many a time you'll find the businessman say, it's time for my zakat. Oh, I'll worry about afterwards. Man, I have to give my zakat and how I'm going to manage it. It becomes like a burden on his head. No, a person has to plan for his zakat. And zakat is an ibadat. Unfortunately, these days zakat has become, as I say, like a burden. We even those that are giving, they take this zakat, they pass it on to some organization, some individual to distribute for him. I've done my duty and it's over. My ustad, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab, Damat Barakatum, always explains this point. And he says that zakat should be given happily. And not only that, regarding it as an ibadat, a person should at least some part of his zakat, he should give it out personally. Go to the poor man's house. When you go, the rich man goes to the poor man's house and he knocks on the door. See, and the poor man opens the door and he says, this Lani is standing in front of me in my house, you know. And this rich man, you know, he's driving a beautiful car he came with. Immediately, muhabbat between the rich and poor is created. At the same time, it creates humility and humbleness in the heart of the rich man. He goes and he sits in the, you know, in the home of the poor man. He's got a basic, you know, lounge suit there. When he sits on it also, he virtually sinking into it. All this will create the quality of shukr in the heart of the rich man. And the poor man on the other hand will appreciate this gesture of the rich man. See. But on the other hand, when the rich man doesn't go to the home of the poor man, he's living in his mansion of his, the poor man is forced to come to the home of the rich man. He knocks on the door. Rich man is busy entertaining some guest of his. He opens the door. Why this person came on this wrong time? So automatically resentment and hatred between rich and poor. You know, and arrogance come into the heart of the rich. At the same time, in the heart of the poor man, there's jealousy. Why? Because he saw such a big home, such a, you know, and I have to come and knock on this person's door. He feels humiliated and disgraced also. So by taking out your zakat and looking for the people and going out and giving it to them, go to the poor man's house. There's a lot of benefit in it. And we should regard it as an ibadat. But a zamana has come. Was zakatu maghrama. People regard zakat as a burden and a tax. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَتُعَلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ. People will study Islam for reasons other than deen. Or you can translate as people will study, will acquire knowledge other than deen. Degrees upon degrees they will have. Qualifications upon qualifications. But the person doesn't know how to read Quran. He doesn't know the basics of deen. وَتُعَلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ. He learns so much. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. With regard to the things of the dunya, knowledge of the world, he's a master in it. Degrees upon degrees. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. As far as akhirat is concerned, knowledge of akhirat, knowledge of deen, he's completely unaware. They don't know basics of deen, aspects of wudu, aspects of ghusl, completely unaware with regard to that. The first meaning which I gave, وَتُعَلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ, person will acquire perhaps knowledge of deen, but he will acquire it at places where he's not supposed to. For example, sitting at the feet of a suit and tie professor, clean-shaven professor, and he is explaining to you about Bukhari and Muslim, and he is teaching you aspects of deen. What is the purpose of learning at the feet of a fasiq? What is the purpose of learning at the feet of a fasiq? Is nothing but a certificate and a degree that we want. Degree in this studies and that studies, etc. So, وَتُعَلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ. It has become so common today. We are learning deen, but for reasons other than deen. The maqsad of learning deen, or even an alim, person becoming an alim of deen, what is his maqsad? His maqsad and his purpose for learning deen is to become more obedient to Allah, greater recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and get closer to Allah and understand as far as life of akhirat is concerned. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ وَعَقَّ عُمَّهُ. A person will become yabas to his wife, you know. Oh, absolutely obedient to his wife. وَعَقَّ عُمَّهُ. And will become disobedient to his mother. See, when the wife says, jump, how high? He asked. But when the mother says, better go do this errand for me. Ma, you can't see, I just came from work. I'm tired. I'm this, that. Mothers, they will disobey. Wives, they will become completely obedient to. وَأَدْنَا صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْسَى أَبَاهُ. He will draw close to himself his friends and distant his father from him. Distant the father. Draw the friends closer. See, father will say, better, I just need to go maybe to the clinic. Please go to the chemist for me. Father needs the medicine. Oh, I'll go later. I just came from there. And now you're sending me again. Few minutes later, friend phones. Perhaps he's stuck in some highway or something. Friend phones. You see. Person jumps in his car, jumper cables, this, that, he's taking, and he's moving to go start that guy's car. And yet he is affiliated to AA also, but you want to act as assistant on the road assistant. But just a few moments ago, the father asked you for some help, and you're not prepared to do it. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ اللَّهَ تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be absolutely kind and courteous to your parents. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفِّ. Don't even say uff to your parents. Yet you'll find a person is prepared. Friends call him at any time of the night or day. And he's prepared to run at a small errand of the friend. But important aspects that the father wants him to do or the mother wants him to do, he's not prepared to do it. You see. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. You'll find noises becoming very common in the masjid. People raising their voices. There's different ways of understanding it. You know, وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. One is people are just talking about worldly aspects and making noise perhaps in the back or in the front. This you see many a times, especially after nikah takes place, you know. Yes, there's nothing wrong in meeting the bride group. But at the same time, there's no need for us to make such a din and such a noise. But another aspect of this is where voices will be raised in the masjid on arguments. Arguments will take place in the masjid. That is why many masjid is better for the trustees to have the meetings, you know, away from the masjid. Because sometimes when the trustees get heated up too, you know, and then there's all voices that is being raised, etc. So it's better if they have it somewhere else. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Voices will be raised in the masjid. But at the same time, we should understand that all sound is not noise. Sometimes people overdo it also. Two brothers walked in, one making salam to the other, how are you brother, you were in hospital. He's busy talking there, another person comes in, hey brother, keep quiet, you don't know this is a masjid. He's making more noise than those two bicharas that we're perhaps just discussing. And sometimes we overdo it, we overreact also, you know. So what is meant here, وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, is you raising your voices in such a way that talking of worldly aspects or in arguments, etc. But whilst we're talking about the aspect of raising voices in the masjid, one very important thing, which also comes at the bottom of the hadith, وَظَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفُ, what music and musical instrument mention is made of that, is that your cell phones and ringtones on your cell phone. Many of us have this musical ringtones. Most of the phones have options. Choose the simple option, the normal ring option. Why must we have music and musical songs on it? And now we're in salah and then the music starts. It disturbs everybody, but at the same time you are bringing haram into the house of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَسَادَ الْقَبِيلَةُ فَاسِقُهُمْ وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْذَلُهُمْ وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. That fasiqs will become leaders in community. Person has no clue about deen. He doesn't follow sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not there for fajr salah. He doesn't read salah for days on end. He misses salah upon salah. But he has given positions of authority in the community. He has given him. And this applies unfortunately to many of the trustees of masajids. Trustees of madrasas, etc. That a person has to understand that he's been given an amanat, a responsibility. The first responsibility is that bring deen within your life also. So that when you are upon deen, it will be easy for you to promote the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also, وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمْ أَرْذَلُهُمْ. The immoral in the society will become celebrities. And people will start looking up to them, want to follow their fashions and their ways. Unfortunately, on the day of Qiyamah, a person is going to cry. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُدْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. When we used to follow all these celebrities, etc., on the day of Qiyamah, you will say that, I wish you all were not around. It is because of you all that we went astray and now we are here. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُدْعِفُوا أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ. We didn't tell you to follow us. We never asked you. We don't even know who you are. We didn't even know you existed in the world. We don't even know who you are. The celebrity will tell you on the day of Qiyamah. So to follow and to regard the immoral celebrities as leaders in community and trendsetters, that has become so arm and common in the society now. And then a person will be honored because we are fearing the evil that he might do to us. And this also has become so common. We have to sometimes tell a person, Yabas, you know, just because we worried, if I don't respect him, and if I don't, you know, follow the line here, he might throw me out of the company, or he might do this to me, or do that to me. So we're fearing the person, or we're respecting the person, only out of fear of the harm that he might cause me. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَظَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفُ وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورُ. That music and musical instruments will become very, very common. Today, unfortunately, we all are heading to that direction. Those that have given up the Western type of music are now heading for what you can say, a type of music which has been given what you can say, Sharia compliance as such. Everything now is Sharia compliance. Some of the songs and the nasheeds that they are out there, put it on in your house and go stand outside and see what you, or try to hear it and see what you hear. You know, you'll realize yourself that in whichever way it is made, it is still drawing you towards music and musical instruments. It is so much in common and in keeping with the music that is out there. And we have to be hushyar. Let us become accustomed to the listening of Quran. Allah has given us beautiful Quran. There are so many beautiful readers of Quran. Today we don't want to listen to Quran. We want to listen to everything but Quran. Once we were out in the path of Allah, we were traveling, we were in a plane. In the flight you get this, you put the earphones and there's so many options what you can listen to. So one of the satis was sitting next to a disbeliever, non-Muslim, a white guy. And he gave him to listen to the recital of Quran by Sudais. He told him, just listen to this. And while they were talking on deen, he told him, listen to this. The person started listening. And after a little while, he began to tear, began to cry. He said, I don't understand it, but it's so beautiful and soothing. A disbeliever is telling you that. Quran, we don't want to listen to Quran, but we want to listen to everything but Quran. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been sent to destroy music and musical instruments. And in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yumbitul nifaq, that music creates hypocrisy in the heart, just like how water causes grass to grow. In the same way, it causes hypocrisy. Sometimes a person is finding it so hard to open Quran on a weekly basis. Once a week, he finds it hard to open Quran because that music has created nifaq and hypocrisy in his heart. And that television, that Pandora box that we have in our house, those that we need to take it and throw it away. This excuse of listening to news, an excuse of just sports, etc. Every program starts with music. Every program, put on that haram box, that one eyed Dajjal, put it on and what you'll hear? You'll hear music in your house. You have brought that music into your house. So we can make whatever excuses we want to, etc. Television, bringing television in your home, it is bringing music in your house. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَظَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. Music and musical instruments will become common. Almost every house has it. Allah save us from that. And then say, وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورِ, and intoxicants will be taken, will be consumed at a very high level. For a period of time, and it is happening now also, there's drugs which is very common in the society. But there's something which is becoming, is growing at an alarming rate, is that our people are taking to drinking intoxicant, drinking liquor. And they're doing it at the workplaces, at parties, end of the year parties, etc. And it is becoming very, very common. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the ummah, because all these things are going to bring the calamities which Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about. وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. You'll find the last part of the ummah criticizing the first part of the ummah, criticizing the sahaba ikram, which is also becoming very, very common. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيَرْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَلِكِ. At that time you will find رِيحًا حَمْرَى وَزَلْزَلَةً وَخَصْفًا وَمَصْفًا وَقَذْفًا وَآيَاتٍ تَتَابِعُكَ نِظَامِ بَالٍ قُتِئَ سِلْكَهُ فَتَتَابَعَ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the outcome, those were all the actions, and the outcome, the natural outcome of those actions is that you'll find earthquakes, you'll find hot winds, you know, fiery winds that will blow, and you'll find that people will be sunken into the ground, and many other calamities and murders and all this will befall the community because of these actions that were taking place. So we have to introspect and see how much of these evils are within ourselves. We need to remove those evils from within ourselves so that we can become a source of blessing for the ummah, and we can become a source of rahmat and mercy descending upon the earth. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.